As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Welcome to Transition State.
I will not rhyme on tracks. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. I will not rhyme over tracks. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat on me. Don't drop the beat, no. I'm not the son of Shaclack Clack. I'm before that. I'm before death is eternity. After death is eternity. There is no death, there's only eternity. And I be riding on the wings of eternity like, ha, 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 shaclack, clack. Get me the fuck off this track.
As if our heartbeats wasn't enough, they got us using drum machines now. Drums in the machines, trying to make our drums humdrum. Trying to move our magic. Instruments beat political business up inside computers. As if the heart were not enough. As if the heart were not enough.
And as heartbeats ring percussions, fallen trees ring repercussions. Cities play upon our souls like broken drums. We drum the essence of creation from city slums. But city slums mute our drums, and our drums become humdrum. Cause city slums have never been where our drums are from. Just the place where our daughters and sons become. Offbeat heartbeats, slaves to city streets. When hearts get broken and heartbeats stop, broken heartbeats become breakbeats for niggas to rhyme on top. But I won't rhyme on top, no tracks. Niggas on the chain gang used to do that way back. I won't rhyme over tracks. Niggas on the chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat, no. Not until you listen to Rock Kim on a rocky mountaintop have you heard hip-hop.
Yeah.
Extract the urban element that created it and let an open wide countryside illustrate it. Riding in a freight train in the freezing rain, listening to Coltrane, my reality went insane. And I think I saw Jesus. He was playing hopscotch with Betty Carter, who was cursing him out in a scat like gibberish for not saying Butterfingers. And my fingers run through grains of sand like seeds of time. The pains of man, the frames of mime, which built these frames, which is the structure of my urban superstructure. The trains and planes can corrupt and obstruct your planes of thoughts, so that you forget how to walk through the woods, which ain't good cause you ain't never walked through the trees listening to nobody. Nobody beats the biz and you ain't never heard hip-hop. And you must stop that damn track from going. Please don't drop the beat. Don't drop the beat, no. Well, I will not rhyme on track. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. I will not rhyme on track. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat. Heartbeat. My heartbeat goes on.
Yeah.
Used to call me on my cell phone, lay down when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone, lay down when you need my love. Cause I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Cause I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Cause ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now, and everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor, hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone, they never. You and me, we just don't get along. You make me feel like I did you wrong, and go in places where you don't belong. Cause ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport, and hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone, lay down when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone, lay down when you need my love. Cause I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Cause I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Oh, oh. Can only mean one thing. Cause ever since I left the city, you
All right.
Okay, so I'm on the...
What's up, radio fans? You're listening to Transition State on CITR. I'm your host, as always, Adam. Check my mic, 1, 2. Check. Hear me now. Check. Okay, how's it going? Welcome to Transition State. This is the show that's always changing and is always the same. We just heard from some Ottawa artist named Callie Matson covering the Drake song Hotline Bling. But wasn't that nice? I think that was worth listening to. Before that was Gaelic artist, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, and I saw her in concert opening for Glenn Hansard, and she noted that nobody could ever pronounce her name, but I'm just going to give her a shot. Aoife O'Donovan? A-O-I-F-E? I'm sure there's a better way to pronounce that, but it's O'Donovan. The track was The King of All Birds, and that's from her upcoming album In the Magic Hour. Didn't that sound nice? And we opened with Saul Williams's quintessential song, Twice the First Time, from the epic compilation Zen Cuts, which is going back quite a ways. The reason we heard that is because earlier this week I sat down with Mr. Saul Williams, and we had a great chat about, art and science and pharmaceutical practice. I'm going to play that interview right about now, so stay tuned, CITR 101.9.
Okay, so I'm on the phone with Mr. Saul Williams. Hi, Mr. Williams.
How's it going?
Good to talk to you.
Good to be here.
I'd like to start by asking you for some personal advice with a problem that I'm going through. Is that okay?
You can try.
Okay. My problem is that there's a girl that I like, and she only likes me back as a friend. And I'm sure that she only likes me as a friend, and I'm sure that my feelings are real. So I'm faced with this dilemma of, should I just keep the friendship, which I know doesn't really feel legit, or should I sort of break it and risk never seeing her again?
Good question.
It's tough, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on one hand, you keep the friendship, right? I mean, I think it's worthwhile keeping the friendship because you never know what attraction is. And maybe you have something you need to get over. Maybe you're attracted on one level because that's all you really relate to, but maybe it's someone that's destined to just be your friend, you know? And so what you're feeling as like the draw of attraction could be something that's not as romantic actually. And you just are interpreting it that way because it's all you know or can relate to or can define at this point in your connection. So you could go through it, but of course you could say that's torturous and why would I put myself through that? But you don't know whether it's torturous or not until you actually go through it.
So okay. That honestly sounds like good advice. Keep the friendship then.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
I've been in many situations.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about the music. So first, I know you mostly from your music and sort of as a rapper. Is that how you see yourself, or?
I saw myself as a rapper up until the age of, like, 18. After that, I never thought of myself as a rapper again. I didn't start writing poetry until I was, like, 23. And when I started making music, which was around the same time, I didn't have the same approach that I did as a teenager rapping. I definitely know that I can rap, but I always feel a bit strange if I were to refer to myself as a rapper. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's because it's something I did once, but don't really do that much anymore.
So now,
but I definitely come through hip hop. You know,
yeah.
I'm certainly a hip-hop head, and I certainly have been, like, informed by hip-hop, just like I've been informed by electronic music and a lot more. And I do rap. That is true.
Okay.
But I recite a lot of poems, too, way more than I rap.
So you see yourself primarily as a poet, musician?
Yeah, I like the most open-ended terms.
Okay.
You know?
Right, I can understand that. Then, what
a great rapper could be referred to as a poet, right?
Indeed.
A great rapper, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Indeed.
So I like the most open-ended terms, you know.
Okay. Do you see any primary, like, difference between poetry and rapping?
There can be at times, I think. Primarily because hip-hop, well, rap, as we call it now, is oftentimes competitive. And because of its competitive, you know, positioning, you often have people who don't want to show any signs of vulnerability. And I think that poetry has more vulnerability in it than a rap might. You know, a rap can have, you know, this braggadocio element that may make it more aligned to stand-up comedy or something. I don't know. In the same way that, like, even some of the stuff we call spoken word, like when you get into slam and people writing for audiences, there can be a time when you're like, I don't know how well that works within my idea of what a poem is versus a speech or a funny speech, you know? So there's some fine line. It depends. But is all rap poetry? Not necessarily. I don't know.
No, I like that. The vulnerability. Yeah, that's true. Do you remember what it is, what it was that first got you into rapping, like as a child?
Yeah, definitely.
What was it?
Hearing other raps.
Okay.
It's that simple. I heard it. I mean, I grew up in the 80s in New York. And so I actually got to, like, kind of, you know, from a kid-like distance, witness, like, the birth of hip-hop in terms of it, you know, reaching a popular medium. And I was absorbed by it, you know. I got it, and I defended it, because a lot of people were like, that's not even music, they're just talking, or people found it funny, but I felt like it was technology. And so for me, it was a sort of technology that was easy to explore. And so I started exploring as a writer first, listening to how whatever LL Cool J or Run DMC or T La Rock or any of these rappers I felt were interesting when I was very young, were putting rhymes in verses, you know, sometimes like two rhymes in a verse, like I'm devastating, captivating, one of a kind, I'm moving, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. And how can we play with that? So I just started playing with all those things, you know, in my free time, and battling at the lunch table.
Rap battle. Oh, okay, awesome. And then
I was a battle rapper.
And then you said you kind of transitioned out of that when you were about 18 and got more into poetry.
Well, I didn't get into poetry then. I transitioned out of that when I was 18. Because I thought I was too old to be rapping anymore. Like, I had failed at what I was trying to do, which was to be, like, the youngest rapper alive or something.
Okay.
And then I just stayed steadfast on the path I was on, which was actually theater. So I was studying theater. I was in college for theater. I went to grad school for theater. And during that time, after a few years, I encountered a poetry reading that kind of inspired me to look at and think about poetry in new ways.
Okay. Oh, very interesting. And then, you know, all that's happened in between since that time, is it still fun for you? Do you still get the juice from rapping and poetry?
Well, is it still fun? Writing is a beautiful exercise. I don't know if you call it fun. I mean, like, what does the marathon runner say about running? You know, it's the challenge that we enjoy and getting wrapped in the moment and the sort of exultation that comes from working that muscle and finding, you know, the epiphanies that come from within it. I guess you can boil that down to a word such as fun. But it's exhilarating. It's also something that is helpful. I mean, you're asking me about your girl problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you're alone late at night and you really have girl problems, you're going to find a way to deal with that. And for me, writing became one of those ways, and music has always been there for me, for all of us, actually.
Okay. What I was thinking of was sometimes, you know, the things that we love, they kind of end up just being this job or this grind, but it sounds like it's still something that, like, fills you up.
Of course, but I mean, every day is different. You know, there can be days when I have a performance scheduled, but I don't really feel like performing. you know. So on those days, it feels like a grind.
Right. Okay. Well, I personally was first exposed to your music through Ninja Tune. I remember the song twice the first time on their compilation Zen Cuts. So I'm really curious to know how you got involved with them and what happened with that.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I ever recorded, if I remember correctly. And that kind of just happened from being at the right place at the right time. The poetry readings I was hanging out with, the musicians and rappers I was getting to know and being asked to record in the studio for this compilation. And so I gave it a shot. And this my friend at the time became my manager. His name is Amici. And he was working with LP. He still works with LP on the Run the Jewels stuff and all that. It was really that proof that I started out moving around New York with. And so it was just something I was asked to do. And I thought it was a fun thing to be asked to do it. I mean, I was really focused as an actor at the time. I was in grad school for acting when I recorded that. And so being asked to do something in another field that you've never studied, that you don't really know much about, but you're into, that's cool on the side. Like, it's a fun thing. It was an honor. Like, oh, yeah, I'll try that. I can record something for you guys.
Wow. Yeah, well, it turned out nicely. Did you have anything to do with the music track, or were you strictly the lyrics?
I definitely had something to do with the music track. Because that's kind of where I discovered that I couldn't, I could not handle just whatever music was thrown my way. That I started realizing that I had a really particular taste in music the first time I went into the studio to record. And that's kind of how I got into making music, because I realized that although I would love it if someone could, like, kind of read my mind and give me a track that they need, and I'd be like, this is exactly what I want, it never happened that way. Every time somebody handed me music that they made or played me music that they made with me in mind, I'd be like, oh, no, no, the beat should be, no, I don't like that. We need to move that, turn that up, that's too loud. That, you know, I just had too much to say, which led to me making music. So, yes, I was involved with the making of the music on that. But that was really, like, the beginnings of my involvement with music. Like, I was basically just giving directions to the producers who got the credit for making those songs. But I couldn't take it the way that they gave me. In fact, the first thing that I recorded was a song called, what, Twice the First Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm singing I Will Not Rhyme on Tracks.
Right.
And it's very specific. The reason why I'm saying that is because the producer came in with a track that he said, I found this in my closet, this old beat I made. I thought you would like it. You should try rhyming over this track. And I hated it, but we were on a tough schedule in terms of the studio. And I was like, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? So I go in the vocal booth and I start singing, I Will Not Rhyme on Tracks,
mm-hmm.
because I hated the track that he made. And I laid down my vocal in such a way so that when I finished, he was like, you know what? I love what you did, but I don't feel like it really matches the music. I'm going to have to call in some musicians, and we're going to make a new track around your vocal, which is what I wanted. So that was the passive-aggressive way of achieving what I needed for that first recording. But that's why I'm saying I will not rhyme on tracks. It's in response to the music that I don't like, which you haven't heard. Nobody has ever heard that music because he changed it.
Huh, okay. I always kind of wondered. Was that you then doing the...
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, okay. Well, I gotta say, I really think that song turned out well. In my mind, that's one of the top tracks of all time.
Well, that's the first thing I ever recorded. That's the story. That's why I'm saying it.
Right on.
Rhyme on tracks. You know?
Do you have any moments do you have any moments that stand out for you as like some of the best, most memorable, or most inspirational? Some show you've played or something? Nothing stands out?
Too much stands out.
Is there any track that you're most proud of?
No.
Just all of it?
No. I mean, there's I mean, if you were to ask me about a particular track or anything, I could tell you, ah, that one came from blah, 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 blah. But I don't really play favorites, or at least it doesn't last long, you know. I might have a favorite for a day when I'm recording it or something, or before it comes out, you know. But after that, it's kind of, I haven't heard those things in years. I can't listen to them.
Okay. Do you have a favorite, like, hip-hop artist? Who have you been listening to recently?
Who have I been listening to? I mean, most honestly, the person I've been listening to most recently is, like, Young Thug. It's not a, I don't know if I could qualify him as a favorite. It's what I've been into.
Young Thug.
For the past couple, yeah, for the past couple of days.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
It's not because of necessarily what he's saying in a song. I love his energy in a few songs that I've been checking out, but it depends. Depends. I don't know. No, I don't have a favorite.
You don't play favorites
of the day. No, I would love to play favorites in terms of that. But I don't have a favorite today. I have a few people that I like.
Okay. Do you ever listen to other music? Like, do you go to the symphony or go see country music shows or anything?
I mostly listen to other music. I have no idea why we're talking about hip hop. I mostly listen to other music. I could talk about other music way more.
Oh yeah, okay, let's do it. So, what have you been into? I shouldn't have made the assumption there. Yeah, okay.
I've been listening to a lot of a lot of stuff from the Congo right now. There's a group called Kasai All Stars. There's a lot of old, like, archival music I've been listening to. Like, in the U.S., we have, like, the Smithsonian Folkways music. I don't know what you call it in other countries, but I've been listening to some, like, archival, like, library recordings of the Twa. In Rwanda, of just ancient, like, drumming and singing groups. So it's a lot of chanting and call and response that kind of predates the blues and all the stuff that we know of that.
Wow.
And, like, Anglophone music. I've also, like, I guess I've been listening to a bit of Mozart.
Okay.
Quite a bit. And I actually use some Mozart and some ideas from Mozart's its sonata on my new album, Martin Luther King. What else? Love a lot of, like, Francophone music, like Serge Gainsbourg and Adeski. I don't know. I'm listening to weird stuff like Brigitte Fontaine what else? Then there's all the contemporary electronic stuff, which is probably what excites me the most nowadays. I like a lot of, like, juke music, footwork music, like DJ Rashad stuff. But I listen to mostly, like, footwork compilations, Bangs and Works, and all the, like, super modern electronic stuff. Not so much EDM. Okay. Per se, as or what's easily qualified as that, because a lot of stuff comes off as cold to me, but people like, I don't know, Nosaj or Shlomo or Arca, a lot of electronic producers I'm into, singer-songwriters I enjoy, from anyone from, like, a Conan Moccasin to My Brightest Diamond, or I was listening to some old Sufjan Stevens recently.
Yeah.
I bumped into Chan Marshall in the airport the other day and lost my head. Cat Power.
Okay.
PJ Harvey. You know, all types of stuff. I don't know. Stuff.
But, okay. And what that first music you mentioned, was that sort of through the Smithsonian Institute that you found it?
No. That I was referencing them because I'm really into that folkways stuff from the Smithsonian, but that's mostly American stuff.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening to whatever would be the companion of that in other cultures and other languages on other continents, you know? So like old archival recordings of people traveling, let's say the Serengeti or something, and recording folk songs and what have you. I like a lot of old folk songs. Also like a lot of, contemporary Middle Eastern music, Fayuz and Om Khatum, and there's a lot of great stuff out there.
So that stuff you mentioned, like, it sounds super good. Like, I just want to listen to it right now. But a lot of it isn't the stuff that's coming on the radio or, you know, on MTV or whatever. So do you find that that music just kind of finds you, or you have to go out and seek it?
No, it all comes from relationships, connections, from great conversations and great moments of sharing, you know, of learning other people's references and delving in and taking the time to absorb and explore, you know, and also wandering through record stores or wandering online, browsing online, finding stuff, going on trails, you know. A lot of things come up and you just type in Beirut on SoundCloud, you know?
Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can do all types of stuff. There's all types of ways of finding the good stuff that's out there.
What is your sort of favorite, or I know you don't like favorite, what to you is like the ultimate way to experience music? Is it, like, I know some people, it's a personal thing, they like it on the headphones. Some people prefer, like, the concert. Do you have like a stereo at home? You throw parties. What to you is like the best way to experience
just
music?
My favorite for now. I mean, it depends, right? Depends on the environment that I'm living in, and I move around a lot. In the house I'm living in now, my favorite thing is to listen at home in the living room, casually while doing other things. The music sounds warm in here. The bass is right. It's wooden. So I can be cooking, I can be drinking wine or reading or talking or not talking or just chilling, sitting out, smoking or whatever, just
right.
Casually is my preferred way. After that, I like it in the car.
Okay.
Yeah, the car is really fun. I still like shuffling. I like getting a bunch of great stuff together and then putting it on shuffle. Because I like the surprise element.
Yeah.
But I still go through albums as well.
Albums, definitely. Okay. And you're listening to MP3s. You got a good stereo, I assume. You have record player.
Yeah, I have a normal stereo here, and then I have a home studio upstairs.
Okay.
If I want to listen, like, technically, I can do that. But I prefer the regular kind of stereo vibe.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you about the future. If you have, if you feel like you have any goals you want to achieve, or like, what's next for Saul Williams?
Oh, I mean, for me, it's just about continuing to be inspired to write and create and express and to explore. I think a lot about writing and film these days. In association with music. So I'm really just, you know, if I could find a way to keep on doing all the stuff that I'm already doing, I'll be cool.
Okay, so just keep it going.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm shooting a film right now. I'm acting in a film, not directing. I'm acting in a film right now, which is called Dream. It's a take on Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I'm playing Oberon. And so, you know, all the different parts of my brain are getting picked right now. I'm getting to act a bit. Getting to write, getting to perform, getting to travel, getting to release music. So, you know, I just like to keep all cylinders kind of on throttle.
Right. That sounds cool. And you're always touring?
Not always. But this is a nomadic year because I have a lot of stuff coming out this year.
Right.
Album and book and stuff. But no, I have off years.
Okay, just run me through it then. What's the album again? Martin Luther King?
Martyr.
Sorry.
As in a martyr.
Yeah, I got it.
Someone who, loser, king.
Martyr, loser, king. Okay, I haven't heard of it. I've mostly been listening to the old stuff still. Is it out in stores now?
No, January 29th.
Okay. Okay, I'll definitely be sure to pick that one up. And what's the book?
Yeah. It's called USA, and it came out September 15th. It's a book of poetry.
Okay, and the movie is Dream.
Right.
Do you know when that's coming?
No idea.
Okay. Anything else we should know about?
I think I'm coming next week, aren't I?
Oh, man. Okay, I'll definitely check that out, too.
Yeah, I'm coming with Chaos.
Oh, man, okay. Have you played with them before?
We've toured together before, way back in the day.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Should be a good show.
Well, cool, man.
Are we all good?
You're all good.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for being with us this week. Mr. Williams, it was a great honor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
On behalf of all of us, I think we just say keep up the good work. Do you have any message for the pharmaceutical community?
Plants and herbs, lower the prices. Give it away for free. Remember the shamans. Stop bullshitting the public and remember that health is not a corporate enterprise. It is a communal and giving enterprise. All right?
All right. Hey, good advice.
Cool.
Okay, thanks again, Mr. Right, Williams.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Fill that up. Fill that up. Canadian dollars. You have to put a little money in it. Yeah, yeah.
You have to invest in your own business.
You have to invest. Yeah, that's how it starts, man.
In the vial, nigga, ain't got nothing on me. Bitch, I'm free. As these editors at MTV, far as they know, they publishing some new school poetry. And it be, cause even that will do to turn the key. Doorways in the other worlds, the truth shall set you free. You and me, I'm you, but also I'm he. Shepherd of a bastard flock that grazes in the street. Feel the beat. Nod your head, lean back, yo, touch your feet. Let me see you pop that thing right there, girl, in your seat. Feel the heat. Count this page amongst your whitest sheets. Comfort in my every word, sliding under countless sheep. Hail Mary, Mother of God. Got the whole host of angels shuffling in my iPod. Niggas learn to raise their voices when I lower. For the
the season, ornamented divine. Code and language of the mystic, strip my fist in the sky. Your head up, we represent the real, my nigga dead up. Book of the dead, history bled, this nigga fed up. Led us to despair, some into prayer, and they won't let up. Until they got us worshiping them, false gods instead of the realness. God of the streets, my niggas feel this. We nod our hands and worship through beats. Go ahead and kneel it. The love that makes a cipher complete. And it's displayed through the way the bassline marries the beat. Son, Hurston, Akhenaten, Hatshepsut, Blackfoot, Helen, Lenin, Kahlo, Kali, Three Marias, Tara, Lilith, Lord, Whitman, Baldwin, Ginsburg, Kaufman, Lumumba, Gandhi, Gibran, Shabazz, Siddhartha, Medusa, Rivera, Gurdjieff, Rand, Wright, Banneker, Tubman, Hamer, Holiday, Davis, Coltrane, Morrison, Joplin, Du Bois, Clark, Shakespeare, Rachmaninoff, Ellington, Carter, Gay, Hathaway, Hendrix, Kuti, Dickinson, Ripperton, Mary, Isis, Teresa, Hansberry, Tesla, Plath, Rumi, Fellini, Michaud, Nostradamus, Nefertiti, Larocque, Shiva, Ganesha, Yemaya, Oshun, Obatala, Ogun, Kennedy, King, Four Little Girls, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Keller, Pico, Marley, Magdalene, Cosby, Shakur, those who burn, those to the flame, and the countless unnamed.
And we are back. That was Saul Williams ripping it up live. Those tracks, that was a mix of tracks. First one was called DNA, and the second one was Coded Language, which, don't you think those two titles go together pretty well? I think they do. How's my mic? So that was Saul Williams, and I hope you enjoyed that Saul Williams interview. That was pretty cool. Right now I'm going to lay some more music on you, but first a couple PSAs, so stay tuned to Transition State on CITR 101.9 FM.
I was a prisoner.
I was a prisoner.
I was a prisoner of
cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my drink. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM. Vancouver, Canada.
we are back. Hope you liked that, Radio Fans. That was Catherine Calder with her lovely version of When You See My Blood. And before that, we heard from Roco Code. The track was Banks, and the album is Panic Attack. Check those out. So that about does it for this week, Radio Fans. I know you're going to miss me until next Thursday at 11 a.m., but I'm going to leave you with a little more Alisa music. This is Christine Vanderkooy. The album is Piano, and the song is Wild and Lustig. Obviously, it's a German title. I think we're talking about some Schubert right now. So sit back and enjoy that while you can. And until next week, stay cool and stay pharmaceutically aware on CITR 101.9 FM. Slight technical difficulties there. Here we go now.